Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
You're listening to the Bloomberg Balance of Power podcast. Catch us live weekdays at noon Eastern on Apple CarPlay and Android Auto with the Bloomberg Business app. Listen on demand wherever you get your podcasts or watch us live on YouTube.
It was quite a weekend and a remarkable story to tell for the administration and certainly for the Pentagon. We did learn yesterday that President Biden made phone calls to the two F-15 fighter squadrons that were involved the night before, American fighter pilots literally shooting down missiles fired by Iran toward Israel, something that we thought maybe we would never see. And if we did, most assumed it would be the prelude to a much wider war. But we sit here on a Monday in Washington with questions about how and if Israel will respond. This was a concerted military effort, though, not just with Israel. It involved the U.S., as I mentioned, as well as the U.K., France, Jordan. We're learning more. Parties were involved, and we wanted to spend some time with Tony Capasio, Bloomberg's Pentagon reporter, who's a regular voice on this program and has a sense of the hardware and the strategies involved here. Tony, it's great to see you.
Thank you.
I'm guessing your phone was blowing up all weekend here. We threw a lot of hardware in the air on Saturday night. To what extent, just as we understand it, was the United States conducting this versus Israel itself, conducting and executing these defense maneuvers?
We were in coordination with them. We were not unilateral. Mm-hmm. The F-15's E squadrons that went up were under the command, a joint command of the U.S. and Israel, part of their network air defense system.
I see.
So imagine, envision this as a 2024 version of the Battle of Britain in the opening days, where instead of the Luftwaffe coming in, you had Shahed 31 drones, winged drones. They're mini airplanes.
Yes, right.
Versus instead of Spitfires, F-15Es, F-15Is, and I think the Joint Strike Fighter. And this has all happened at night, so it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But the video they showed, the Israelis have shown, it looks like they were taken down with air-to-air missiles. The F-15E can fire 8 AMRAAM air-to-air missiles. They've got a backseat operator who's the weapons guy. He doesn't drive the plane. They got a pilot and a weapons guy. So that's the minuet in the air. But
fascinating.
Like a mini Battle of Britain, the first day, opening day.
It's incredible the way you just illustrated that. And the F-15, of course, is an airframe that goes back to the 1970s, but this is a much more up-to-date version. Yeah. We need these old jets still to do these jobs.
This isn't really old. The F-15E is like one of the top non-stealthy bomb carrier of the United States. The
platform's old though, right? I mean, we've kept these things updated remarkably well.
Somewhat old, but it's got great electronics. This is a really key. I flew a familiarization flight on one of these in the backseat a number of years ago.
Yes.
So it's a premier fighter. Mm-hmm. If it was the F-35, they carry less armament, actually. But I can see why they would have used this airplane. You've got the backseat weapons operator kind of searching for targets and firing while the pirate's driving and monitoring the overall situation.
Did they know they could do this?
Oh, yes.
To such an extent of success.
This stuff is gamed in simulations.
Yeah.
So the Israelis and the U.S. had an exercise last year called Juniper Oak. All your readers should do a Google of Juniper Oak.
I'm writing that.
Because that was a huge, the biggest war game ever between the U.S. and Israel. Mm-hmm. That was like January, start of last year. And that set the stage for a lot of the command and control and coordination that played out over the weekend.
Fascinating. I'm going to throw another war game at you, Chariots of Fire. Remember when Israel gamed out its potential military options in attacking Iran's nuclear infrastructure? That's the extreme scenario that the administration is worried about here,
yeah,
correct?
The problem with that is if they did that, you got DIA and other U.S. intelligence analysts are saying the Iran is not moving toward building a bomb.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Israel's got the capability, the deep bunker buster, massive ordnance penetrator bunker buster capability that only the B-2 bomber can carry to hit those deeply buried targets. So if there's going to be retaliation, I'm thinking it may be a combination of cyber and using the F-35 to surgically knock out buildings like they apparently did in Damascus, the attack that precipitated all this retaliation.
And that would be considered a more measured approach? That would be kind of the middle ground that the Pentagon's looking at?
I don't know if they're looking at
They must be gaming
it. They're gaming it, but that would be measured. It would show Iran, hey, we can knock your door down at night, and you're not going to know that we're coming on knocking.
Fascinating. As I mentioned, we threw a lot of hardware in the air. Do we have a sense of how much was used, what needs to be replaced? The Iron Dome was very busy that night, and we've got a bill on Capitol Hill that would help them to replenish that.
Yeah, this is interesting. They didn't mention the Iron Dome in any of the intercepts last night. They talked about the Arrow 3 and 2.
Okay. Is it possible it was not used?
It's possible. No, I think it was used in for these short-range Katyushas that were fired from Gaza. Mm-hmm. As part of the attack, and possibly from Lebanon I'm sure they were used in some extent, but these are mostly mid-range ballistic missiles that were fired. So the Arrow 2 and 3, their version of Patriot, were used. I don't know how many they were used, but if there were like 100 and they fired two per missile, the U.S. would help pay for the replenishment of those. Okay. On the Hill, there's a $14 billion supplemental, right, including There's $60 billion Ukraine supplemental. Mm-hmm. Well, there's this $14 billion supplemental for Israel that's got money for like some 10,000 Iron Dome interceptors called the Tamer. And to buy 10 more Iron Dome launchers. So Ukraine may benefit from this in terms of Congress moving to push the whole package because of the attacks.
We're waiting to find out if it moves as one big piece of legislation or if they cut them up. But you're describing the bill that it's actually already passed the Senate.
Correct.
And you're right. Everyone obsesses over the Ukraine money. That's $14 billion for Israel in there. Mm-hmm. That would be the most significant part of that money, would be to replenish those air defenses.
That's my sense, right? Yeah.
It could see a vote as soon as this week. The contractors who stand to benefit, all familiar names?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. The Boeing has a multi-billion dollar, forgive me, I don't know the exact number.
Yeah.
It's for a follow-on order of F-15EX airplanes. I think it's 50. They put this order in a number of years ago, and the State Department in January informed the Senate that this was an informal notification that we're going ahead with. It's been caught up in the whole reaction to the Gaza situation and the horrific
civilian. This is
separate
from the supplemental.
It's separate from the supplemental, but it's being viewed negatively by a number of members in the House, mm-hmm, and some in the Senate. But this is, I think this has a good chance of going through now as part of an overall, we need to support Israel situation.
How about that? Maybe it could be attached to something this week. But these are the same jets that were used on Saturday night, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, they would be the same jets for Israel, right. It's not attached to anything.
I wonder if they do attach it, is what I'm saying.
The procedure in 5 seconds is this. The Senate and House Foreign Relations Committee's chairman and minorities have to nod that they're okay with it.
Sure,
and then
okay.
The State Department will formally notify starting a 30-day clock.
I see. In the meantime, this other bill could be done by then. We'll have
to wait
and find out, obviously, on that. I haven't even mentioned Ukraine and what's inside there, which is probably a conversation for another day, mm-hmm, as this is apparently imminent on the House floor.
Yeah.
But, Tony, is the Pentagon talking with Israel in the aftermath of all of this? Is it a political conversation now, or is the military conversation continuing? We knew the leader of CENTCOM was there, for instance, last week.
I think the military conversation is continuing in terms of what do we need to improve your layered air defense, what replenishments needed. Mm-hmm. Did we learn anything from this slow-moving mass of drones to calibrate a better response next time, although this was pretty successful. One thing I think played out, though, U.S. intelligence satellites helping feed Israel knowledge of what was going on in the, mm-hmm, air, mm-hmm, and also the fact that the Biden administration kept saying the attack was imminent.
Yes, right.
Remember in late 21 when they said Russia was close to attacking Ukraine? This is messaging to the Russians that we can read your mail.
Yeah,
this is messaging to Iran that we can read your mail.
And then Iran was happy to let us read their mail, it seemed like. This was really telegraphed, choreographed in a way that we could maybe intercept the ball.
That's for sure. I mean, this figure, a radar screen full of blips of these slow-moving, these are not drones like the little switchblades. These are mini airplanes.
Yes, right.
You know, mini.
They had hours to follow.
Hours. So you can kind of watch them in the air. So that was part of Iran's messaging, too. I don't, mm-hmm, know. They might have figured many would mostly be shot down, but the whole buzz been created by this moving swarm toward Israel what might have been seen as a demonstration of Iran's power.
Yeah, right.
Even if they were, most of them were shot down.
Didn't have a chance of getting through, apparently.
Well, they might have, though. Who knew? But the technology worked well.
It sure did. I can't imagine some of the briefings you're going to be in the next couple of days. It's great to have you with us here the Monday after.
Thank you.
Tony Capasio, as always, with great reporting here on the terminal and online. Look for his work as our eyes and ears at the Pentagon, and a great help to us here.